In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to In the Loop. First things first, we want to remind you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and make sure to leave us comments in the comments section. Very important. We want to hear from you. We also want you to follow us on Twitter at In the Lupica. That is with a double O in the Lupica part of it. And on Instagram and on Facebook. And we got a great show, a lot to talk about. But before we do it, we want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. All right, here we go. Time for a podcast and Kloop. I want to begin with a lot of social media chatter between you and a clique of Bachelorette contestants.
Well, yeah, obviously there's no secret our relationship with JJ Lane of The Bachelorette season 11. I think he came in 7?
9th, I think it was, actually.
9th. Yeah.
Top 10.
So, anyways, so top 10 he's finish. Probably our most famous, I don't know if I'd call him a friend, but yeah, he's our most famous friend. So I found out the other day, what is this called here? Bachelor Winter Games, which will premiere winter 2018.
Very excited about that.
So it says, quote, the all-stars from past seasons of the network's dating shows, including, quote, arch rivals and villains, will compete against each other in the winter-themed athletic challenges at a luxury winter resort.
If it was an all-star team, JJ would be in it, first of all. Second of all, we've been talking about this idea for years. Bachelor contestants competing in a challenge,
like
MTV.
He's the villain. Like, he coined that.
You gotta...
Villains gotta vill.
You have to implement the physical challenges.
Right, so...
People love him.
I tweeted at him. I said, anything you want to tell us. Like, I'm thinking he lives in Denver. This guy's a winter sports fanatic. He's gonna be in there. And his response was... I can't get it up right now. But he's not gonna be participating. And then it caught on where all the guys from season 11, Tanner Tolbert, that guy Jared from Paradise, everyone's getting in the mix. We're throwing around Mighty Ducks 2, Junior Goodwill Games references. And that's as good as we can do on social media.
Also, breaking from that season, Ben and Lauren split. This
oh,
week.
Yeah, that's breaking across the
wire. And JoJo and Jordan going strong.
Yeah, Zach like seems to feel somewhat vindicated that Jordan, Rogers, and JoJo.
No, not vindicated, surprised. I'm surprised they made it and the other two didn't. Good for them.
Yeah, Ben and Lauren, Chris, Splitsville.
I thought Ben was going to run for Congress.
He might still.
No, I think he's leading the polls, last I checked. He's doing fine. But what are you guys talking about?
I said it's disappointing because him and Clint Arliss, obviously the other villain from that series, would be great to watch in curling. Then like all other guys are getting in the mix talking about the bobsled teams. It was a very exciting Tuesday afternoon.
Can we hook a couple of these guys to get on the pod once the winter games, so to speak, get going?
Yeah, I mean, people were throwing follows at us. We were throwing follows back. So
follows were just flying around.
Yeah, follows were flying. And the JJ Lane diehards were very involved. So we'll see how it goes.
Not a lot of pods that start with Bachelor Olympics. That's unique.
Yeah, that's...
Leading with Bachelor Olympics.
That's the kind of thing you only get on In the Loop.
That's true.
Clue, big week for the president.
Oof.
What do you make of all the news? It's very hard to keep track of.
Okay, so I want to ask you a few things. You're
sure.
The news guy.
News
Zach,
dude.
Zach, I know you're not into it, but indulge Alex.
I guess, yeah.
Indulge me.
So
don't give me that
I'm
look.
Thinking about this. I'm going to miss him when he's gone. Are you going to miss him when he's gone?
As a fan of news, as entertainment, of course. He's electric.
But for your job.
For my job? Yeah,
like,
of course, Chris.
Nonstop?
He keeps it so much more interesting than a conventional president would.
Okay, so I'm
going to miss him. I think whatever your politics are, we can all agree on that.
I'm going to miss him when he's gone. The Twitter, like waking up every day, like what's next? What's under the next rock? Kind of exciting, kind of fun.
Yeah.
A little embarrassing for our country maybe, but definitely fun.
This week, the I word has gotten tossed around a lot.
And what is that word?
Impeachment.
I mean, really more in the past 2 to 3 days than in the past like 5 months combined. And Republicans are saying it too. So, I don't know.
You know what I was thinking? When I tell people you work in, you know, news, politics, what you're covering anymore isn't even really politics, I feel like.
I agree.
It's just this madman that you have to follow every single day.
Yeah, it's a reality show shot at the White House.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's totally different. Like, what I inherited working in news and politics is not normal.
No. It's turned into TMZ.
But now it's the new normal. People with experience in national politics pre-Trump, like, that experience is only so relevant right now
it's
because
not.
Of how drastically
what's relevant
he's
is how many
things.
Fast and the Furious movies you've made.
That's true. And it's going to be your guy Dwayne in 2020 anyways.
I know. I should have got him
work
at,
for the
I
campaign.
I should have got him at 100-1.
100-1 would have been such nice action.
Okay, next question.
What?
Who's the first to go from the cabinet? A lot of rumors, you know, he's going to fire somebody. And then, or two parts, who's going to be the first to go? And then secondly, like, wouldn't you almost want to be the first to go so you could write that fat tell-all book that everyone's going to write it? Why not be the first and get the big deal?
Right. Obviously, everyone is eagerly anticipating the first wronged, fired staffer to write the tell-all. Because it's just going to be the best tell-all ever.
Yeah,
just
maybe
out get, one week
about
too.
Politics.
Maybe he gets three scoops in reality.
Exactly. Oh, you thought he only got two?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a full Sunday. But yeah, lots of talk of a shakeup, Chris. The communication staff seems to be.
Isn't it Spicer
in
dude?
The
Is
crosshairs?
He still in there?
Yeah,
I think I saw he was the favorite in Vegas as next to go.
Next to go is the smart money is probably on Sean. But the ratings are good. You know Trump likes that clip.
If I'm Spicer, I'm out. I'm getting the big book deal. I'm writing the tell-all. We'll publish it in like 2 weeks. I'm going to be out. Because
I feel like Spicer leaves with his head held high if he gets fired, you know?
No question.
America's kind of fallen in love with Spicer.
I don't know
have
about
they?
That. I don't
they,
know about that.
They have. They have. Certain pockets of it.
All right.
Yeah, interesting week in politics.
Sports?
You want to talk about sports?
I'd love to.
You're eager to talk about the king. Zach is chomping at the bit, Chris.
I believe
he feels like he's not to be stopped. So let's do that. We got McGregor, Mayweather starting to look really real. Giselle, Chris, this is so interesting. I don't think she went into that interview expecting to say what she said.
Perhaps not fully prepared.
But yeah, not fully prepared. So we'll get into that. Maybe a little more Bachelor Winter Games. I kind of want to hear more about that. And then, Kloop, you've got some awkward social scenarios you want
to
run through
and
before we do fake news.
Make.
An apology? To whom?
Yeah. The head coach of the Gators.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got to come full circle on this one.
Wait, so are we sure this guy who says he's the guy is really the guy, or is this a fall guy?
Or is
guy?
It a fall guy?
Let's tease it. We'll get into it. I gotta go full mea culpa on bended knee, Jim McElwain. We'll get into it.
Apologies next. All right, Zach, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals couldn't have gone better for you.
Well, I was thinking it's also nice there's no games tonight, so for once we can do a podcast NBA update with all recent news. You know what I mean?
And all the recent news is good for the King.
Yeah, I mean, I think he proved that that's going to be a sweep and that the Warriors are 10-0 and he doesn't give a shit.
Do you think that hostile crowds like the ones in Boston make him better?
I think that any taunting slash, crowd booing, fans at courtside chirping is not going to end up well for the road team. He was kind of getting into it in the beginning with guys on the that were courtside, and you're like, what are you doing, dude? Now he's going to score every time.
He plays well angry.
Yeah, you don't want to see him mad.
Chris, Zach thinks the King is playing as well as he's ever seen him play. Do you agree?
I don't think there's any question about how well he's playing and what kind of level he's playing at right now. He doesn't the rest factor is huge. He's in attack mode pretty much 45 minutes a night. I mean, Zach and I have talked about this off air. One of LeBron's best attributes is that just the guy never gets hurt. He hasn't slowed down. And his basketball intelligence is only getting stronger as he gets older. So with all that said, I mean, Brad Stevens says, last night after the game, he said, this guy's playing better than when I got to the league. But it's really hard for me to gauge. I'm interested what you guys have to say. It's hard for me to gauge what I'm seeing here. Like, I know I'm seeing greatness out of LeBron. I know that the Cavs are playing really well. I know the Warriors are playing really well. How am I supposed to gauge where these two teams are in relationship to one another when they've won every game they played and most of them convincingly?
You're not. It's what the NBA has been all year. We've been waiting for June 1st all year, and that's when we're going to see it. And that's all the NBA is now. It's a two-week. You got a great 2 weeks, and you got nine other months of nothing. Let me read you his stats here so far in the playoffs. 34.8 per game, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. He's shooting 56% from the floor, 43% from three.
Good numbers. They're going to roll the Celtics.
Numbers. Somebody
They're going to roll
out
the Celtics.
The numbers since Draymond Green called him a bitch have been pretty exceptional.
Same. That goes with what I was saying in the beginning.
Is that Elias, or is that what is that stat?
Well, it's just since whenever that game was, like, whenever the last time, which is the last time they lost in the playoffs, was that home game, and Draymond called him a bitch, and he said he couldn't be a bitch because he has kids.
You know what I was? You know what I was thinking in terms of the Jordan discussion, just because that's always going to be out there, is LeBron, is the East that bad and the other teams in the league that bad, or is it actually just going to take a super team to beat this guy?
I think the East is that bad. I think the league is that bad. I think a lot of it comes down to what we've been talking about. I don't think it makes sense. Teams now, more than I believe historically, care more about, like, they take the long view more, right? I mean, I think that starts with Moneyball and a lot of the guys, they take the long view. And a lot of these teams, like, there are so many teams that appear to be tanking and just saying, well, let's just wait out the next 5 years. Let the Cavs and Warriors go at it every year, which is probably a smart business decision for the franchises, but it's a terrible look for the product.
But what I'm saying is, do you think that it takes a team like the – it could be that there needs to be another super team in the league, or he would run the entire table, including the West.
But he has a super team of his own.
Does he, though? Everybody always hates on Kevin Love.
He's had two super teams.
The Cavs aren't a super team, dude. They have Kyrie and they have Kevin Love, who people don't necessarily respect as much as the guys on the Warriors.
Those are two guys who played on Team USA, so they're pretty good.
But it's not much better than the guys Jordan have, and
so,
Jordan never
yes.
had to play a super team.
Zach has been on, Cowherd went on a rant last week about the other great players in the history of the NBA and the complimentary stars that
Hall
they were
of Famers.
All Hall of Famers in many cases gifted with. Kyrie and Kevin Love are pretty damn good.
Yeah,
no question. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't think it's fair to say, well, the Warriors are a super team and the Cavs are not a super team. The Cavs have three guys who basically played on Team USA, which, you know, whatever, make that whatever it is. They're three of the best. Like, Kevin Love, people forget. I think maybe people forget how good he was when he was on the T-Wolves.
Okay, but the Warriors won 72 games, added Kevin Durant. If you took Durant off the Warriors, they'd still be in the finals. If you took LeBron off the Cavs, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's arguing that Durant and LeBron are in the same category of superstardom.
But I'm saying that maybe they're a super team just because they have LeBron. And any team with LeBron could be a super team.
It sounds to me like your argument is just like LeBron against the world. I'm just not buying it. Like, I'm not buying that LeBron isn't on a great team, that he hasn't handpicked his last two he's handpicked these teams. He's put them together. I don't blame him for it, but I'm also not going to act like
Kyrie was there.
I'm just not going to act like he's some huge underdog, like, when he isn't.
Well, he's going to be going against the Warriors.
They will be substantial,
though. What about his Heat teams?
They were great.
Okay, I mean, you have to have a supporting
I'm not talking about
talent
the Heat.
To win.
I'm saying right now, I think that maybe he's unbeatable, unless there's a team like the Warriors, and we'll see if they can beat him.
What does a Warriors-Cavs finals look like to you, Clip? Does it look like 5-6?
Well, it's still really, like I just said, I mean, the Cavs look great. I'm more open to the idea than I was that the Cavs have a great chance to beat the Warriors. I think home court for the Warriors, look, we have seen time and again, not just, you know, it's not apples to apples, but, you know, both college basketball championships. I do think there is something to be said for a team coming off of a heartbreaking loss. The Spurs against the Heat, they blew that series with the Ray Allen shot. This team was up 3-1. I think if they're in a position to put the series away, they're not going to let it slip away again. So I give the Warriors a slight edge, but it's a slight edge. What about you guys?
I think, yeah, you give them a slight edge. But the way the Cavs are playing right now, if they steamroll their way into the finals and they steal one of the first two games in Golden State, then it's anybody's series to win.
The narrative was the same, if not more heavily weighted towards the Warriors last year, lest we not forget, that the people thought the Warriors of last year was the greatest team ever assembled.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he beat the best regular season.
So counting him out is just silly.
And he took him to six the year before without Kyrie or
But
Love.
Again, I don't think anyone's counting them out.
I think a lot of people are. Right. The majority of the people I talk to, I think,
and
one
Zach
out
talks
of every
to a lot
10
of people.
Or say the Cavs are going to win.
Yeah, he did a focus group on this one, Kloop. Hey, can I ask you about the lottery?
Please.
Celts, very nice one, too. I think everyone's kind of happy with it.
Well, not Knicks fans.
No, not Knicks fans, but fuck Knicks fans. It's like, it's over. I can't believe what happened to them. But Celts get the number one. It's just, how jealous are you of Boston fans with Brad, the team they have, the number one pick? It is good to be a Celtics fan
right now.
Do you
guys think there's any chance it's rigged?
Dude, I tweeted at that link about the conspiracy theories before the draft, and then this one turns out to be pretty convenient. You give the Celtics the number one pick to compete with LeBron.
Yeah, and
you give Lakers number two for the ball drama.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It would be, we can admit that it would be really hard to rig it.
So the conspiracy theories are flying around.
Well, it'd be really hard to rig it. It would be completely illegal, right? So, like, business practice-wise, totally illegal.
Yeah, dude.
But I think it is riggable. Unlike anything else in sports.
You've tampered with those machines before.
I could rig it.
If
was in charge of that lottery.
2 hours with that ping pong ball machine, it would be spitting out
Fultz
sevens.
Would be coming to New York.
The part that is most frustrating for me is the Lakers for the last 2 years, if they hadn't gotten a pick in the top three, they would have lost their pick to the Sixers. And both years, they end up keeping their pick. It's just, I mean, I'm not saying it's rigged. I'm just saying this is just what happens with the Lakers and the Celtics, I guess.
Weren't you, when the number eight came, and that was worst case for the Knicks, obviously, weren't you expecting Knicks?
I wasn't even sure it was worst case. I kind of forgot that. So I kept in my head, I'm like, okay, seven is the big number. Like if we're not called at seven, then we're in good shape.
Yeah, well, I knew at eight, they'd been jumped. And when an eight came, I was like, it's going to be Knicks. Yep. You know,
I didn't even realize that. And then it's like, Knicks. I'm like, okay.
So now, not even seven.
So, Kloop, who does that put you in position for? Let's look on the bright side.
I don't.
You're
going to
get that kid from France, aren't you?
Nikolaidis?
I mean, is there any doubt?
No. I mean, either him or the guy named Laurie from Arizona.
Yeah. One or the other.
Him and Porzingis just beautifully running
around.
Oh,
my God.
The same
living in bunk beds in Chelsea. So, Kloop, are we penciling in Ball at number two? There's just no way they can.
How great would it be, though, if they passed?
If they passed, it would
and
make me...
And he goes
me,
to Philly?
It would
or
make
Sacramento
me so
at four.
Happy.
Embiid looked very confused with the whole Sacramento getting to swap picks thing.
Right. They had
they
to explain
the Kings,
it to him.
And he's like, wait. Yeah.
That guy's great, right? We like him.
Yeah. The LeBron era ends once Embiid's begins.
We love him.
I like how Embiid says, trust the process.
Trust
the
process.
Every interview.
Yeah, you gotta. You got it. It's his tagline. Maybe he'll run in 2020 also. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I hope they salvage something with the eight.
Whatever.
I want to do Floyd and Connor, but I think we got to get to your apology. Mea culpa.
The people of Gainesville are clamoring for an apology.
The pitchforks were ready for us in Gainesville.
So, as you guys know, last week we talked about a nude man humping a shark who looked like Florida Gators head coach Jim McElwain. We did it because it was news, okay? He denied it publicly. He denied it publicly twice. Then apparently, like, the guy who owns Jimmy John's got involved. People thought it was him. He denied it. And then a story broke that... it's a guy in upstate New York, and it was in Long Island, and it was like 2 years ago. And the anonymous source who tipped off the Orlando Sun Sentinel said the man that is naked on the shark is afraid for his life because he believes bounty hunters, I'm not making this up, and people with shark people, whatever those people would be called, he's afraid because the New York Post put up an article about who is this naked man or the naked shark man.
What is he even trying to say there?
Well, the guy doesn't want to come out publicly and admit it was him because he's worried about these animal rights groups and all these people who are now...
Oh, that's what the quote is with the shark people.
Right, yeah, he's worried that...
He's talking about PETA.
He's afraid.
I see.
And
as he should be. He shouldn't have to come out and say, hey, that's me on the shark.
Well,
he's not a public figure.
If the shark's already dead, I mean, I guess it is disrespectful.
But also, is he humping it or could they just be cuddling?
He's laying on
it.
Yeah, it's spooning.
You can
see
gyration in the one photo.
He could just be like, hey, this is my buddy.
That's a really good point, Alex. You can't.
You know, if we had video, that would be one thing. We're talking about a still photograph.
Yeah.
A snapshot in time.
And he's naked. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
No, no. Oh, no.
Do you think Jim McElwain's relieved?
Yes, I do. This could have dogged the whole season. I mean, let's face you know, it could have been on, like, you know, the big boards coaches hold up for plays. You know, they're playing Tennessee, and they just got McElwain on the shark.
If you don't think that's making an appearance at every college game day for this whole year, you're wrong.
No.
It's dogging him either way. It's a part of McElwain. It's first line of his obit regardless.
All right, you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Suffice it to say. All right, McGregor and Floyd, Zloop, as close as we've come. Dana White coming out. First of all, what is Dana? Is Dana's role as Floyd's promoter?
Yeah.
Excuse as Connor's promoter?
Connor's under contract with the UFC.
Right.
So in order to get a deal done to box, it's got to be through Dana White.
Through Dana.
Since he's an employee, technically.
And who is Floyd's Dana in this situation?
I think Floyd's
just
got some, his whole
the
crew.
Money yeah, team, money whatever, team. Yeah. Someone in there.
It's Mayweather Promotions.
Okay, Mayweather Promotions.
So
Dana comes out and says...
McGregor signs the papers.
McGregor has formally signed a commitment.
And now if Floyd's people will do it, there's going to be a fight.
Do we know numbers?
What do you mean?
Do we know, like, what they're expecting to... Gross. Is that part of the agreement?
Oh, I don't think it came out how
it will be part of the agreement, but we don't know yet.
It's going to be big.
It's going to be big.
Probably like $150 million at least combined.
Okay, let's talk about this other than how exciting it is, because that will be a night, you know? That will be a generational
to me,
sports
it's
night.
It's the spectacle of the year going forward.
I think it could be
as far
it could
as
be longer
get
than
together
that.
With your buddies and watch a sporting event. I don't think, and look, I don't think it's going to be a good fight, but the hype and the spectacle and the idea
the
of
weigh-in,
watching
Floyd
him walk out,
him out it's a pretty exciting deal. I don't know. I think we might be hugely let down by the fight. What do you think, Zach?
I think that I am more inclined to be let down by a fight like Floyd Pacquiao, where I know both guys are going to dance around each other. Like, yeah, we know Floyd's probably going to win, but I think that at least McGregor is going to make it exciting by going balls to the wall. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's going to have to.
And I think that will be more fun to watch than your average featherweight or whatever they are boxing match.
He's going to have to
knock
him out.
It's hard to think that Floyd, coming out of the UFC, obviously octagon fighting, it's totally different.
Connor,
but just the difference between 5 rounds and 12 rounds, I mean, I know it's the same amount of minutes, but it's just, it's a lot to ask from McGregor to be able to hang in there with possibly the greatest fighter of his generation.
Pound
not
for pound
ever.
Of all time, yeah, probably.
But it's kind of a win-win for him, you know?
Well, the win, dude, is that he made $3 million off Diaz, and he's going to make like 70
yes,
off this.
Yes, the win is obviously the money, but he's going into Floyd's sport.
With nothing to lose.
And if everyone knows damn well that if Floyd walked into McGregor's octagon, he'd get his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good point, Alex. And the other thing is, worst case, he loses. He can't do it. And then he goes back to the UFC and he fights Nate Diaz
and
again.
It's probably an even bigger deal because he's an even bigger name by then.
He's still the biggest star in the UFC. I don't think he loses a thing here. It's a win-win for Connor. I just hope the fight isn't, you know, disappointing. The hype sure as hell is going to be fantastic.
My thing is, I want the fight to happen badly, but if it keeps dragging out like this and, like, Floyd's not going to sign the papers, I want Connor back in the octagon.
You want to see him perform one way or the other.
Yeah.
I don't
want this thing to drag out much longer. He had his kid, right? I'm ready to see him back in the ring.
He's been training hard, right? All boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I want it to happen.
Everyone does.
It'd be good stuff. Kloop. Giselle.
Yeah,
what do you make
weird.
Of it? It is weird.
So she goes on what, CBS morning show?
Yep, Charlie Rose, yeah.
And she's talking about Brady, and she's like, you know, Tom gets concussions all the time. He gets them. And then she like stops herself, and she's like, I mean, we don't really talk about how often he gets them. And then she's like, it's a pretty violent sport, and I don't want him to be, you know, affected moving forward. And now it obviously turns into, well, are the Patriots keeping him out of the protocol? And are they hiding, covering up his concussions? And it's just like, oh, my. How mad is Brady at his wife?
You know, I feel like he...
They're too much in love, dude.
Yeah, he loves her, man. He's going to see past this.
Well, what would you? What should they do? They should just say like she doesn't speak English good, right?
I don't know if that's gonna work.
Like, oh, you know, she Giselle.
She speaks it pretty well.
You know, Giselle's. You know, she's funny, and who cares? And,
I mean,
you know.
It is just not the headline Roger Goodell wanted to wake up to.
He probably does. He probably wants to investigate.
Who cares though? Like, what? What are they gonna do to him? He'll be fine. He
knows him for four games.
He knows he's been getting hurt. Like, if you play quarterback, you get concussions.
I thought upon first reading the headline and like one paragraph that the interview was focused on that.
They're like,
no, that it was that it was some sort of heartfelt, emotional plea for research or whatever, and that Tom had
hell sick.
But then in watching it, you could tell from her tone that the words were just kind of trickling out of her mouth unintentionally.
Well, let me ask you guys, where are you guys on concussions generally? To me, I'm kind of at this point. I mean, obviously you're anti. My point is more like, I get how 15 years ago you can look at it and be like, it was really unfair the way that they treated players and the way that they kind of covered it up. But nowadays, like, which player doesn't get the risks of playing football?
Zero. None of them.
It's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, it's a harsh take, but like, these guys know what they're doing.
And they're welcome to not
Wes Welker, like, he knew that there was not, his head was not okay, and he wanted to keep running cross routes.
Well, I mean, he wanted to keep getting paid. It's,
right.
It's just...
It's the price you pay, dude. They
and
know it.
And it's screwed up, but nobody's fooling anyone anymore.
What
do
they can
used
like? They can have concussion protocol, but if the guys can hide it and they want to keep doing it, then what's the NFL supposed to do?
And yeah, Julian Edelman, like, in the Super Bowl.
And right. What are you supposed to do with the players that say, I'd go back and do it again?
Yeah, it's tough. That's why I think at the end of the day, the concussion, well, it's a talking point. It's going to be a talking point going forward with the NFL, especially as we see guys get older. But they know the risks, and this is what you sign up for. So I don't know.
All right, I want to move on to what I like to call high-level reality TV. We got this new Bachelor coming out. Talked about it at the top. Chris's boys with the whole clique. They're going to be competing, presumably, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming off an epic real world. It's not even real world Road Rules anymore.
It's all MTV shit.
It's just MTV
shit. If you've
been
on MTV or you're related to anyone who's a producer or anything,
you get on there. Yeah. And CT prevailed.
CT, yeah. He's been doing it since 2001.
They showed a flashback to his first episode.
2001?
Yeah, dude. He's like 18.
No,
it might
have been like 03 or something.
Okay.
And he's got this, what?
That's a 2-year difference.
Yeah, I can't correct you.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
We'll get John on this.
Yeah.
All right. He has the flow coming out of the beanie. Where was he? I think it was Paris, right?
He was in France. That's a perfect fit.
Sticking CT in France. Anyways, it was really nice to see him get the victory. And now, Gloop, we just watched episode 1. They've got the legends, Bananas, CT, Wes, etc., and professional athletes. Lolo Jones, among them, Sean Merriman is on the show. It's insane.
There's
like,
a defensive
legit,
end. I'm blanking on his name, but he was pretty good.
Legit pro athletes that Bananas is now and the likes are now competing against.
It's funny that there's no longer a pool from which to select these people. Like, it used to be the Real World and Road Rules. That was the whole impetus. Now it's just reaching into the past. Like, there's no new blood.
No,
new
are
shows.
You the one, dude? There's some new blood.
Yeah, that's where they pillage the new blood from. Are you the one?
Pretty good show, Are You the One?
Not bad.
Yeah, not a bad little show. Clue, couple things to get to after a short break. So much more on In the Loop coming up, but first, this from MeUndies. If you've been settling for store-bought underwear 5-packs, making the switch to MeUndies is a game changer. What is MeUndies? Let me give you the details. MeUndies are designed in LA and made from a sustainably sourced fabric 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies Softer Than Soft Luxe Undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. Plus, you'll save time and money each month having them delivered to you with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/Mike, and get 20% off your first pair. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/Mike, MeUndies.com/Mike. I want to hear a couple. We'll get your social awkward scenarios out of the way. I got a couple fake news headlines. I know you have the same.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to think of a name for this segment soon. But Kloop, you have awkward social scenarios. This is kind of just life, though, for you. I feel like your life is just one awkward social scenario after another.
Well, I think
and you appreciate
things,
them,
really
you enjoy them.
I think about things that happen to me, and I wonder, you know, if other people think about them or
not know. Like you do, my friend.
I guess not.
No.
Okay, so when you're traveling, because I was doing this recently. I downloaded this new Amazon show. It's about Hugh Hefner. I don't know. And I turn it on, and I'm on the train, and it's just immediately just boobs everywhere, which I
you're
guess...
You're loving it. You're loving it.
I guess
it.
Wow. You have... Yeah,
so you're having it all. Yeah. They got the boobs out. You're just
it's the first fucking scene, girl getting out of the pool just nude. And I'm
what
like,
a joy
oh.
for you.
So you're thinking this flick is going to be awesome.
And I'm like, this is lit.
Is this it? Is that all you wanted to say?
That's the end of the story.
I'm saying, what do you guys do when you're traveling and you're watching like something aggressive adult content?
Unplug
like,
the headphones and blast it. You gotta. It's the only way. You gotta wear it, dude. We're all watching R-rated movies. We're all adults
like
here.
Game of Thrones.
Like if there's an 11-year-old sitting next to me and I'm watching Game of Thrones and the Lannisters are going at it, I'm probably just gonna like.
No, it's like welcome to the real world, kid.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's only so much you could do.
Dude, I was,
but yeah, that's a tough one.
The other night, I was watching Valkyrie on a flight, and
great flick.
And the beginning of the movie is like a long scroll of like pro-Nazi speeches that you can read. And I wanted to be like, oh no, it's not like it's anti.
It just looks like you're watching old school Nazi.
It looked like I was
videos.
Watching like some pro-Nazi propaganda, and I'm like, no, it's Cruz. We're fine.
I just got an alert on my phone that it's the 11-year anniversary of Marissa Cooper passing in the OC. So,
dude, that's a spoiler.
Why are you going to do that?
That's a spoiler for
no, it's
who
not.
Seen
if you haven't seen the OC by now, fuck you.
Oh, now you're putting me in a mood. Okay. You got me thinking about her death?
Yeah, it was sad, dude.
That's terrible. Volchek was there. Was it his fault?
Yeah, dude. Of course it was.
I hate that guy.
Next week on the podcast, Marissa's death, was it Volchek?
God, if we could get the actor that played Volchek, that would be a joy.
That guy's huge now.
I don't know about that.
I'm just joking.
Okay, that's
okay.
Next.
Second one. So, I'm in the bathroom stall.
Any story that begins that way.
And I sneeze, and the person in the stall next to me says,
no,
God bless you.
No.
I called the police.
That kind of folds in two of your biggest pet peeves.
I hate God bless
bathroom
you so
bathroom chatter and God bless you in general.
But, dude, you isn't it unspoken that if, especially if you're in the stall?
Dude, there's no stall-to-stall
conversation. Did you respond? Did you respond?
No.
You didn't give him a thank you?
I called the cops.
That's so weird.
He basically assaulted me.
That's tough, man. I'm sorry about that one.
Okay, so where are you on urinal?
Down. No words. And if
I
see
go
someone
into the bathroom work, I pray that there's no one in there.
And if someone's at the urinal, I'll go to a stall to avoid standing
Completely.
Next. Because when
Same.
You're 2 feet
God,
from each other.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, dude.
This
I mean,
makes me, this
we're
made
brothers.
Me feel
we have
better.
Things in common.
Okay. Zach, anything else on bathroom locker? Locker room's a little different.
You know, I get right next to you and I look.
Yeah,
you're like, hey.
And you talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, dude. What is it, 6'7"?
Hey, great looking chili dipper.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about? What about dating apps at work? Is that socially acceptable enough at this point where it's
Definitely
not that
not
awkward?
For somebody not,
little
superior.
Peek into your own life, but wow.
No, I'm not.
No,
admitting
I know.
It,
yeah, okay. So
yeah, I'm talking about in general. I caught someone else recently.
No,
I caught someone else.
Sure.
Well. You wouldn't want your boss to see you doing that.
No.
But if it's just you.
Although
and like
openly doing it in a meeting is kind of funny. That's
just
very
like
great.
iPad, yeah. Tinder.
like iPhone 7 Plus.
Just big swipes.
Flat on the table.
Maybe you bite on your knuckle when you see something you really like. Oh.
I think
full screen horizontal.
All right, let's move on to fake news, Clip, before we get out of here.
Okay.
I'll go first. Number one, President Trump has to wear traditional Saudi garb at one event during his upcoming visit. Zach?
No.
Does he?
No.
I would go to Saudi Arabia for that.
Okay, two. Trump reportedly considering a Fox News host to replace Sean Spicer.
That's true. It's the girl.
True.
Fuck.
Two for two. Bitch.
Okay, Mike Pence played bassoon in his Indiana high school.
Good job, dude.
I'm sorry, dude.
Pretend you've done a podcast before.
The bassoon.
I couldn't False. Get through it.
Three for three.
I couldn't get
Is
through
that it.
It.
Just lay up.
The other one, I'm not going to be able to say without laughing, so there's no point.
Fake.
It was fake, also.
Zach, me or you?
I should have done another instrument. Well, it would have made me.
I have movie reviews.
All right, here we go.
I really like reading movie reviews of awful movies.
That just get destroyed.
That just get destroyed. So these
Kevin James films.
These are a compilation
Sandler.
Of Adam Sandler movies. I'm going to read four reviews, I want you to tell me which ones are real and which ones aren't true.
Okay?
The comedic equivalent of being whomped in the face with a pillowcase full of nickels. There are movies that are bad. There are movies that are so bad they're good. And then there's this. A movie so bad that it defies comprehension. Click made me want to buy my own remote so I could rewind time and beg my father to get a vasectomy. If there was a superhero called Captain Cinema, Adam Sandler would be his Lex Luthor.
Real, false, real.
Clue?
The one about the vasectomy's got to be untrue.
Anything else?
I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah, the rest are true. You got it.
God, Sandler movies get ripped. He gets no credit.
That would be a genius review, the vasectomy thing, though.
And then there's this one is pretty tough. A movie so bad it defies comprehension.
Apparently he really doesn't like it. I mean, obviously no one likes bad reviews, but he takes it seriously.
I mean, he doesn't care enough to stop making them. Have you seen the Netflix movie?
Is it awful?
It is incredible. He plays a character, it's like Waterboy character meets Billy Madison.
I mean, dude, Waterboy's character, I'm not going to go there.
No, I know. It could not be made today.
Same with Billy Madison.
There's no way they could make it today.
No.
Or he would win an Oscar.
It's about a mentally handicapped linebacker with superhuman strength.
Dude, have you ever seen The Ringer?
I know.
Where Johnny Knoxville competes in the Special Olympics.
I know.
Good
Neither
movie.
Could get made.
Dude, no, but the Knoxville movie I thought was more of like an homage.
Chris, he pretends. All right, never mind. You go, Chris.
We'll save this for next week. How about that?
Next week's pod.
All right, Cliff. It was lovely chatting.
Okay, mine is. I have.
I thought we were done.
Minor facts about state laws.
Okay.
And once again, I'm matching 1v1.
Okay, 1v1.
In Delaware, any marriage that is the result of a game of truth or dare can be automatic grounds for an annulment. In Alabama, if you publicly urinate on an oak tree, it is legally considered gardening, although any other arboreal urination will put you in peril of a misdemeanor for public peeing.
True, false.
False, true.
The Delaware thing is true about truth or dare. Pissing on an oak tree is still illegal in Alabama.
Okay, next.
In Kansas, you
Which
must
is bullshit, by the way.
In
Go
Kansas,
ahead.
You must be 18 to play foosball in public.
That cannot be true.
In Florida, all establishments with a liquor license are prohibited from holding any contest, promotion, or activity that endangers a person with dwarfism.
False, true.
False, false.
No, the dwarf thing is true in Florida. You can't, like, toss a dwarf or anything.
What?
Seems reasonable.
But in Kansas, you can play foosball legally at under 18.
Good to know.
Those things are gossip.
Last.
That's it. No, I'm done.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Well, I, for one, I'm glad.
Should I go out tonight or no? I
don't yeah, it's Zach's Friday.
Dude, get shit-faced.
Go out.
Yeah.
Go out.
Go out.
Fine. Come on.
Fine.
They're like our older audience. They're listening, saying, get after.
Yeah,
I know. I'm
Make
young.
A commitment right now to the listeners.
You commit.
I'm going
commit.
Out.
He's
How
going
many
out.
Drinks? How many drinks?
The whole night?
Yeah, 14.
I'll let you know next week.
All right. Take care, everybody.
See ya.